Oh, that's so much better. I can see your faces. It's awesome. Our worship team, too, you have to come in one of these two sections. By the way, let's thank them for leading us in worship tonight. Thank you. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. That would be page 1351. And that Bible under the seat in front of you. We're going to share a few words out of Philippians chapter 4. Then we're going to partake of communion together. Lord, I pray that you would bring peace to your people tonight. May we know your supernatural peace in our lives. I pray that we would be agents of peace, voices of peace. Lord, no matter what comes our way, I pray that we would know your spectacular, supernatural peace in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man, I feel like we're living in stressful times. I mean, I think it's really easy to be stressed out. I look at the political environment of this country, and it can absolutely stress you out. It's totally out of control, regardless of which side you're on. I believe that Christianity is under assault in every sector of our society, and that can stress you out. I think of all of the current events that stress us out, the coronavirus, all the different things. And then there's just the pressure of everyday life. Earning a living, taking care of family and friends, dealing with physical health issues, relationships, trouble at work, trouble at home. It's easy to be stressed out, but I want you to understand something. If you're a Christian here tonight, you are never to be stressed out, ever. And I have taken you to a passage tonight that talks to us about how to live at peace even in the most stressful situations. You and I, as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, should enjoy peaceful living. And there are five keys to peaceful living that I find in our text tonight. And the first one is in verse 4, Philippians chapter 4. Look what it says in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord, what? Rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. Again, I will say, rejoice. In the original Greek language, that is in the imperative, which means it is a command. As Christians, we are commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. And I want you to know tonight that we can rejoice in the Lord always. I mean, let's face it, we can't rejoice in our bank account always. We can't rejoice in our physical health always. We can't always rejoice in what's going on at work. We can't always rejoice in relationships. Why? Because those are variable. They fluctuate. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. But we can always rejoice in the Lord. Because he's constant. You can always rejoice in him. You can always rejoice in who he is. You can always rejoice in his presence, and you as a Christian can always rejoice in salvation. And you can always rejoice in the fact that you're headed for heaven. And those are constants. Those never change. I want you to understand, as a Christian right here, right now, you've got everything. Everything you could possibly need now and forever. Rejoice in the Lord. Choose every day to rejoice in the Lord. And by the way, Paul is practicing what he preaches right here. I mean, he wrote the book of Philippians from prison. Did you know that? At this point in his life, he is imprisoned. He has been persecuted. He's having all kinds of issues in life. 17 times in this book, he says, rejoice. Or he talks about joy. In the midst of the most dire circumstances, Paul had joy. Because he chose to rejoice in the Lord. You want peace in life? Choose every day to rejoice in the Lord. A second key, look at verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Again, that is in the imperative in the original Greek language, which means it is a command. We are commanded as Christians to be gentle with all people. Gentle with your coworkers. Gentle with people that maybe work for you. Gentle with your boss. Gentle with your spouse. Gentle with your children. Gentle with your family. Gentle with that guy who cut you off on the highway on the way over. Gentle with people who disagree with you. It says, let your gentleness be known to all men. This word, gentleness, it's a complex word. In fact, William Barclay called this word the most untranslatable of all Greek words. It is really hard to get the sense of what this Greek word means in English. All my study of this word tells me that there's three main senses to this idea of being gentle. And the number one sense is being soft. Softness. Be soft with all people. In other words, be courteous. Be respectful. Be well-mannered. Don't shout at people. Don't intimidate people. Don't demean people. Don't ridicule people. Don't order people around. Don't be demanding. Be soft. Okay. That does not mean that we are pushovers. That does not mean that we don't stand up and speak the truth. Amen? But it does mean that we always do so in a respectful, courteous, well-mannered way. With all people. Everyone, believers, non-believers, people you know well, people you don't. In Proverbs chapter 15, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Be soft with people. Christian, be gentle with people. The second sense to this word has the idea of yielding. surrendering. Even the idea of being reasonable. In fact, one Greek scholar translates this word, sweet reasonableness. I like that. The idea is you should be willing to compromise with people. The whole world should know that you will meet a man halfway. You will be reasonable and you are willing to yield to others. Again, does that mean that we are to be pushovers? Does that mean that people are to walk all over us? Does that mean that we don't stand up for what we believe? Does that mean that there are some issues in life that there is no compromise, right? There are lots of issues where we stand without any compromise, but you can do so with reasonableness, with humility. Very important. Even the way maybe you couch or spin words, the way you share the truth, maybe the hard truth with someone, you make it gentle. You make it palatable for people. In other words, you need to learn what people are like. And you need to meet them in a way that is reasonable and well-mannered. And then the other sense to this word gentleness, and this is, I think, probably the main, is patience. Be patient with all men. Meaning, when somebody fails you, when somebody blows it, be patient. When somebody offends you, be patient. In fact, there's a proverb, in the book of Proverbs that I've shared with you several times, and I believe that if the church lived this proverb, there would be so much peace within the church. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression." Listen to that. Your glory is to overlook a transgression. Transgression's a big deal. The New Testament says, love one another, for love covers what? A multitude of sins. In other words, don't be so sensitive. Be patient. Pick your battles wisely. You want peace in your life? Be gentle with all of the people in your life. In fact, let me just say this. If you're one of those people and you're always in a fight, you're this person and you are in fights with people wherever you are, at church, at work, at home, whatever it might be, it's like you're always in a fight with someone. You better ask yourself, are you being gentle? Are you being gentle? Are you being oversensitive? Are you yielding? Are you being respectful? Gentleness. Okay, the third key is found right there again in verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. And what does it say at the end of verse 5? The Lord is at hand. Paul says, always be aware that the Lord is at hand. Now, there's two ways to think of that. Paul could be saying to us, as Christians, always be aware of the fact that the Lord is with you. And that's true, isn't it? The Lord is with us at all times. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. The Lord lives in you. His Spirit is in you. So let me tell you this. There isn't any obstacle. There is no trial. There is no difficulty in all of life that you as a Christian will ever face alone. Ever. The Lord's with you. The Creator of the heaven and earth is with you. Think of that. Be at peace. Now, Paul could also be saying that always be aware of the fact that the Lord's return is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He could be speaking of that time in the future when the Lord is coming back for his church. And I think that would be a valid interpretation. And I think that is a wonderful thing for us to consider daily as Christians. The Lord's return is at hand. At any moment, he could come back. And we should expect that. And let me tell you this. When he does come back for his church, in a nanosecond, you're going to find yourself in heaven, away from all of the different issues of this life. So as you're going along in life and you're coming against trials, persecutions, all of these different things, these hassles, understand the Lord is with you now, and one day you'll be with him in heaven. And everything that we face here, we won't even worry about. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's our hope. The Lord is at hand. You want peace? Remember that his presence is with you. Okay, the fourth, look at verse 6. Paul says, be anxious for what? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Beautiful verse. Again, I want to point out right there in verse 6, the first sentence that is in the imperative in the Greek, which makes it a command. The command for Christian is this: be anxious for nothing. Or you could consider the command like this: don't be anxious for anything. That's the command. You are not to be anxious about anything. Okay. I want to clarify something here. This Greek word for anxious, it's a special word, and there's a good meaning to it, and there's a bad meaning to it, depending upon the context in which you read it. Here's the good meaning. It's a word that means to care, to be concerned. And my brother and sister in Christ, there are lots of things in life for us to care about and be concerned about. We are told to care about meeting the needs of our family, to care about the injustices that we see in this world, to care about the health of a church, to care about our responsibilities in this life, to be concerned. Paul is not saying that we are to be these careless people who don't worry about anything, and it's an attitude that leads to a life of irresponsibility and laziness. That's not what is being said here. We should care about many things in life. So that's the good sense. Here's the bad sense: to care too much. To be overly concerned. The idea of what we would think of in English as being stressed. And so there are lots of people in the church in America, the wealthiest nation on the planet. We have everything that we could possibly want. But there are a lot of American Christians that are overly concerned, stressed out about material things. And this could even be a responsible person doing everything that they could possibly do, making it right, doing it right, and yet stressed. Overly worried. Do not be overly worried about anything, especially if you're doing everything that you can. Okay. Well, how do I do that? How do I keep from that type of stress, overly worrying? Well, like what we've just said, rejoice in the Lord, right? Always. Be gentle with people. Be aware of his presence with you. And then here in verse 6, pray about what? Everything. Prayer eliminates that over-worrying, that stress. And my brother and sister in Christ, I believe that we can pray about anything and everything. Pray about those things that are stressing you out. Pray about those things that are overwhelming you. Bring those to the Lord. Bring every care to the Lord. Say, Lord, be honest. Lord, this is stressing me out. Bring it to him. One of my favorite verses, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That's a command. Cast all your cares upon him. The Phillips translation. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. I love that. Pray regularly about everything, especially those things that causes you stress. And what's promised? Verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, there's just something about pouring out your heart to the Lord, getting with him, praying. You know what you'll discover? That he's with you. That he cares about you. All of your perspective will change. Again, you'll begin to be reminded of your salvation, the hope that you have in him. You'll rejoice in him. He will take care of you. He will give you peace. I've always loved what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm just going to read it to you, because he touches on a lot of things that folks worry about. He says, and I quote, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things, all the Gentiles seek. In other words, all of the whole world's about that. But for you, remember this, he says, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, we get so stressed out about things, but we come and we take these to the Lord and we pray. And he gives us peace. And he's going to provide for us. You want peace in your life? Pray. You get along alone with your heavenly Father and pray. And then there's a fifth key. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of whom? The God of peace will be with you. Think on good things. You want peace? Meditate on good things. It's all in the thought life. I love it. He gives us a whole list of things that we can think about. Whatever things are true. Fix your mind on things that are true. Now, where do you find truth ultimately? In God's word. Spend a lot of time thinking about God's word. It says, whatever things are noble. Now, I love this word. This is a Greek word that means weight. Think about things that are weighty, heavy, solid. Not things that are superficial. So don't spend a whole lot of time watching soap operas, reading gossip columns, doing all of the entertainment trivia stuff. I'm not saying don't ever do it. Just don't spend a lot of time doing it. Spend more time thinking about heavy, weighty, noble things. Read heavy books. Go see movies that make you think. Noble stuff. And I hope you know the difference. There are works of art that deserve attention. Then there are other works of art that don't deserve our attention. You think on noble things. Whatever things are just. Righteous things. Don't put wickedness in your mind. A lot of wickedness out there in Hollywood, on TV, Netflix. Wicked, wicked stuff. It seems like even on the networks, every show, every year, it gets worse and worse and worse. Why is that? Because, you know, you got to keep pushing it to the next level. Don't fill your brain with wickedness. Fill your brain with things that are righteous. Whatever things are pure. Fill your mind with things that are pure. That has a sexual connotation. Don't put sexual junk in your brain. Be holy. Whatever things are lovely. I love that word lovely. Whatever things are lovely, literally things that inspire you to love. things that make you, you know, that lift up your spirit. Put your mind on things like that. My grandparents, I don't have any grandparents alive anymore, but I can remember my grandparents telling me that they would go to the movies when they were teenagers, and it cost them about a nickel. And that included the popcorn and all, everything. And they would tell me stories about when they got through seeing a movie, they would skip home holding hands, wanting to dance. Works of art that lifted up the human spirit. The last movie that you saw, did you want to go home skipping? There are so many movies that are now so dark. And they push the limit. Fill your mind with things that are lovely, that inspire. Whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. You want peace? Meditate on good things. Put good things in your brain. Emerson said, a man is what he thinks about all day long. What do you think about all day long? That's who you are. Marcus Aurelius said, a man's life is what his thoughts make of it. We're told in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. Battle. Where's the battle? It's always in the mind. There's so many things that you can fill it with that just add stress. Fill it with those things. Do those things. And it says at the end of verse 9, the God of peace will be with you. That's awesome. God wants you to live at peace. Choose to rejoice in the Lord always. Choose to be gentle with all of the people in your life. Be aware that the Lord is at hand. His presence is with you. Pray about everything. And think on good things. Amen? And you know, we can do all five of those things while we sit at the table. Right here, we're going to sit at the table. And here's what I want you to do. Rejoice in the Lord tonight. Rejoice in salvation. Think of what he did so that you could be saved. Think of what you've got. Rejoice in him. While you're sitting at this table, think about the way you're treating other people, especially people in the body of Christ. Are you gentle? Are there some people that you need to make amends with? You know, it says that in the scripture, this is a great time to take inventory of how you're doing with other people when you sit at the table. Be aware of the Lord's presence. Our Lord is with us tonight. Be aware of the fact that at any moment he could come back. This could be the last communion service we ever do. While you're here sitting at this table, pray. Pray. What's bugging you tonight? Pray about it. Ask God to give you peace. While you're sitting at this table, think of truth. Think of noble things. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's dim the lights. Those who are going to help me pass out the communion elements, come on up. I invite you to meet with the Lord right now. Communion is something that we do corporately, but it's also very important individually. As you, right now, spend time with your Lord. Rejoice in Him. Rejoice in salvation. Give those things, give those cares to Him. Think about truth. What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches that for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you so much, He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. And at a horrific cost for Him, salvation has been made available to us. You know, you may be here tonight and maybe you've not received Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'd like you to do that right now. Before we partake of these elements. Receive Him right now. Just in the quietness of your heart, say, Lord, I receive You. I open my heart to You. I'm a sinner. I've failed. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins, for taking my place and rising again. And I receive You right now. I invite You to be my Lord and my Savior. Make me born again. We're going to hand these out. I'd like you to hold them, and we'll all partake together as a body. But worship the Lord right now. Spend that time with the Lord. Lord, in this holy moment, we are sitting before You in Your very presence. And we are remembering what You did. What the salvation of our souls cost You. Shedding of Your blood, the breaking of Your body. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for the hope that we have in You, and we do thank You for the peace that we can know and experience. We rejoice in You tonight, Lord. We rejoice in salvation. Love You, Lord. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let's take. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's remember. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. Amen. I would like to take just a few moments to pray for anyone here tonight who's having some physical issues. If you have a sickness, if you have something going on with you, we'd like to pray for you. If that's you, I'd like you to stand wherever you might be. Martha, anybody else? Only one person here tonight. Who wants to be prayed for? You got some kind of a physical thing happening. Go ahead and stand. Anybody? Anybody up here? Okay, then we'll pray for Martha. Why don't you lay hands on her over there in the back? Awesome. For those of you who are not laying hands on Martha, maybe you have somebody that you know of who needs prayer for. Why don't you spend some time praying for that person? And a couple of you pray out loud there for Martha. Pray for her. We do bring Martha's needs up before you. Touch her, heal her, strengthen her body. I would like to pray for our country tonight, our nation tonight, and I'd like one of you to stand up and just pray for the peace of our country. Who's going to do that? Mark's going to do that. Awesome.